am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catches.
But just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Reign of the Supermen.
Yeah, that's rain as in royalty.
Yeah.
Not as in raining from the sky.
Who is raining from the sky, or at least the other side of the planet, though, is our special guest, is Connor McKenna, who also watched Death of Superman with us.
So hello. Some to complete the cycle. And in between, me and Connor recorded on Death of Superman The Wake, which is the comic continuance of the story from Death of Superman.
Yeah.
So you can go listen to Last Sons of Krypton to hear us talk about why you should read the comic if you've watched the film.
Yeah, and if you like Death of Superman, go read it. Also, it's better than Reign of the Superman.
Yes, it's actually a really, really good comic. I enjoyed it a lot. So... wasn't necessarily sure that I would.
Yeah, no, me neither. So, yeah. Well, there's two. The Death of Superman film and the Tarn comic have two things in common, is that they're written by good writers.
Yes.
And they've both written Superman comics. That's not shared by the person who wrote Reign of the Superman, or the people.
Which is Tim Sheridan and Jim Krieg.
Yeah.
So one of them wrote Man of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Which is good. Mm-hmm. The other one wrote Gotham by Gaslight, and he's an idiot, and that sucked. So I'm sorry, I know you guys didn't mind it, but I thought that was so bad. Like I loathed it. So
I've learned that basically no, any film that I've liked so far, I've rewatched now, it's like, no, that's because you were like an edgelord semi incel when you watched it, and now you're a normal human being.
Right. I mean, it's also like you change, I mean, we all change our opinions of things. Just on many things, just like how much more you know about the world. I mean, you know, like, so it's not that surprising. Well, I mean, like, I know I've watched some of these that I know that I would go back and have a different view of them because I'm going in with a certain bias of like, oh, you know, these are all things I chose to skip when they were coming out because the people watching them were like half my age. So like, I'm coming to some of them a bit more sort of tired of the world than the people they were made for. But I've genuinely enjoyed some. So.
Just to clarify, I didn't hate Gotham by Gaslight because the premise. I think the premise is pretty cool. I thought the writing was really bad. So that's why I didn't like it.
So just to make this clear, we've spent 10 minutes not talking about this film. I've edited this out, probably. But I always think that's very telling the film how quickly we end up talking about something else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So anyway... Reign of the Superman, to rein it back in.
Yes, apologies.
No, it's fine. As I said, it's more useful for a point.
Yeah.
So, the film opens 6 months after the end of the last one. And the four Supermen that we saw in the post-credit scenes are popping up more often. We can see a brief glimpse of each of the four of them.
Mm-hmm.
super. So I'm just going to use the titles that they're actually given, even though they're not named this early. So Superboy kind of appears, is kind of obviously aiming a bit lower level crime, as is Steel. Meanwhile, it's quite clear that, and it's very clear early on, oh no, no, Eradicator and Cyborg Superman are definitely the two more powerful here.
Oh, for sure, but Superboy's I love Superboy's look.
Superboy's look, and I actually think the casting's pretty good. Cameron Monaghan?
I don't know who that is.
Right.
He's also the guy who does the performance for the new Star Wars games, Fallen Order and Survivor.
I'm just looking him up. He played the Joker on Gotham.
He played not Joker because they can't say he's Joker for some.
Yeah, he played Joker on Gotham.
Yeah, but he's not Joker. Yeah. They're not allowed to call him Joker.
I remember that. Yeah,
it's dumb. They also did we'll do the realistic grotesque thing when he falls in acid.
Saw a bit of
where you die.
No, where you end up like horrifically scarred, yeah, with like nearly bald, and also he played another version at the same time who had the whole face cut off and reattached thing. And anyway,
all right, back to
Superboy.
Back to
Superboy.
I did not know that was his. That was the voice of Superboy. But yes, the voice. I thought none of the voices bothered me.
We had Howard playing the worst.
Superman because he's Howard.
Well, I mean that's where it sort of evens out. He's like the worst Superman, but he's voiced by Howard. So
this is Howard from Better Call Saul, aka Patrick Fabian.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
When he's not with our Better Call Saulness. So.
Yes.
Oh, I feel bad that I don't watch Better Call Saul now.
He's a favorite, fan favorite.
Yeah.
It was good to see him.
So we also find out that the Justice League Watchtower is finally getting launched. Not that it's going to do anything in any of the films at all, because canonically, even though we've got three films to go, this is the second last.
Oh, really?
Because basically the next two, Batman Hush and Wonder Woman Bloodlines, happen before this.
Do they? Okay.
Yes, because that's why the post-credit scene is, we're going to go attack Apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that leads into Apocalypse War. Pretty minor spoiler, Rebecca, because it's called Apocalypse War. Although it is called Justice League Dark.
Haven't you already told me we're watching that one together as well? So.
Oh, yes. I'm watching that with you, Rebecca. Alan will know why that's funny, but...
I will warn you in advance. Flashpoint was too violent.
Oh, God.
Disgusting is the word I would use.
Yeah. This is the film that actually... I actually don't think I'll even bother listing all the character deaths.
Yeah.
As long as they're people I don't like, I don't care.
Well.
Anyway, back to Rain.
Rain as Superman. Again, we're getting distracted. It's quite telling. Also, somehow no one has connected Clark Kent and Superman, even though both have been missing for the exact same length of time.
To be fair... Like, how is the city different from normal? Like, so many people are missing from the... You know, the thing that's questionable, which they don't really do in the film, but they do in the comic, is when... Clark Kent comes back at the same time as Superman, that's fine, but they both have long hair now. That was the questionable part. But he, like, tied it back. But, yeah.
I mean, the other thing, to be fair... Spoiler, they then do... Oh, and Martian Manhunter will do a Superman impression.
Which is clever. Like, why wouldn't you do that? I mean,
if you have access to... if you have access to...
A shapeshifter.
A shapeshifter, that's absolutely how you would get people off your back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I expected one of them to be Batman for a second, because that's like a thing they do all the time.
I kind of did.
But I think then it was, the two character models are far enough apart that that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. It's like the comic. You can pull it off in the comics, but Superman's a lot chunkier, I think, in this.
Oh, in this, he's a lot bigger than Batman, yeah. A lot bigger.
And he still has no neck.
Yes.
Even though some of the alternate ones do.
Hmm.
I like them more. They look better.
So, we end up going back to... back with Lois, who meets Wonder Woman at a club. After we do the kind of... and Lois Lane is sad, and she sees Clark's parents, and everyone's sad because...
Everyone's sad.
Even though we know Superman's not actually dead...
Well, you have to do that, because they skipped... like, they skipped the whole... World Without Superman part. Like, they, you have that part, and then you have like the 5 minutes at the end of Death of Superman, so they, like, you have to sneak in a little bit of mourning for him, otherwise it's just like delving straight into the mystery of like, oh, he already might be back. Like,
I mean, it's a problem that they keep that they've had, and it's actually, because that was obviously the same problem, quite frankly, with Justice League, is they kind of went, Superman's dead. No, he's not. Mm. At least...
Oh, you mean the two-parter in Justice League? Or... oh, no, are you talking about...
Snyder slash Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
Live action.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they play their hand that he's not dead really early, because we all know it, but...
it's actually some... it's something a lot of comic book movies have a problem with, is actually going, no, we can actually have, like, a period of, no, things are bad.
Mm.
I mean, it's not as bad for me, because, like, for me it matters, like, it doesn't matter if I know he's alive, it matters if the characters think he's alive or dead.
Right, yeah.
So, like, in Justice League and in this movie, you know, Lois obviously thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't really bug me.
So we
and like he does die, like to clarify, he does literally die. So, except for Doomsday, I don't think he died in that. But
so we have then a scene between Lois and Wonder Woman, which is an awkward scene.
Because.
They're not quite... they don't seem to be quite sure. Like, Wonder Woman at first thinks Lois is meeting with her to grieve over Superman, since they both dated him. And then it was like, no, I'm actually... I was wanting to know about the other Superman.
Yeah. I didn't find it too awkward. It was just like, it was a bit weird.
The
thing I noticed about... well, the thing I liked about that scene is seeing Wonder Woman standing next to Lois. Like, as in, oh, Wonder Woman is, like, a sort of... not a giant woman, but, like, you know, she's appropriately bigger and more muscular than Lois Lane. So, like, she looked, like, slightly inhuman, which I liked. So...
yeah. So... we then go to the LexCorp... gala. John Henry Irons is there. I do like that there is absolutely no attempt to go, ooh, we wonder who Steelers. No, Steelers. It's one thing that I do think they do make a mistake with is there's a few times they could do reveals and they're just like, nah, why would we bother? We've got too much to do.
See, one thing, comparing this to Death, I think I mentioned... in our episode on Death, that there's an argument that the 2018 film version of Death of Superman is better than the comic. Like, I think there's an argument to be made for that. Whereas with this, like, Reign of the Superman, the comic is just miles, thousands of miles ahead of this film. And one of the things is, Reign of the Superman is really big. Like, it's the size of Death and World Without put together and then some, because it was a mystery story. Right, like they had all these mysteries. You were wondering who are these people, you know. Whereas this film doesn't do that.
It's Is it an Eternals problem? They're trying to get too much into too short a time?
Yeah, well, one of the problems with this movie is that they tried to... Because this film's, it's 90 minutes long, or it's like 87 minutes long.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not like the 1 hour 15 shot. So, but the problem is they're trying to make it like half of a Justice League setup. And that's, I really hate it when they do that with Superman, when they use his villains as like a Justice League thing. And like, because in the books, I'll keep spoilers light because Rebecca's going to be reading it soon, but it's all Superman based. Like, the Justice League pops up maybe, but it's not, there's no dark side. Like, Cyborg Superman doesn't have a boss in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy pulling the strings, you know? And it's right. All Superman mythology based. So if they did that, then it would feel like a Superman film, but you're cramming in this world building for like Apocalypse Invasion and stuff, and the plot with like the cyborgs, and you could be diverting that to other things like characterization and mystery, as you said, like reveals, stuff like that. So
they also seem to imply, I think they use the term for Superboy, he's a bit handsy or something like that.
Yep.
Which I'm gonna, oh, we're just gonna mention that and then immediately breeze past it. Okay.
Well, it comes up. Like he does it with Lois too. Well, he doesn't grope her, but like he visually gropes her.
There's a difference between being a bit awkward and flirty when it's inappropriate and being handsy. There is a difference.
I'm guessing they probably can't show it.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess. But, like, to clarify, I like the first half of the film, and I think the four Superman... I've never been huge on Cyborg Superman because of his visual design, but I think the four Supermen in this film are really good. I like how they play off each other. I like their performances. Eradicator is my favourite.
Yeah, well, see, when Connor first said that as we were watching it, I was like, I don't really understand why. And then... a few more scenes with him, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's my favourite as well.
Because he flies around saying, you must be eradicated.
He's just cool. He's just kind of... like, you're right. He was a little bit Judge Dredd, a little bit cool.
Yeah.
But without some sort of cruelty. And Superboy was a little bit too much tethered to Luthor in the film. Like, and I've read other things with him when he's a bit more not. But this was very sort of, you know, clear where he's from.
He's also very tethered to Luthor in the comic. I'm not saying that you're wrong for not
liking
that.
No, I just mean other comics I've read where he's appeared.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't mean that.
He is effectively...
I haven't read, like, you know, so...
He is effectively... Look, he's got two followers, is the way they kind of play it. We'll get to that, because, anyway... So Lex Luthor does the formal announcement of the new Superman, and, oh, he's got a leather jacket, and he's wearing shades, and, oh, he is trying to be so edgy. He's like a DC writer in these films.
Well, I like how they, because obviously that's, like, referencing his 90s look, where that was, like, the genuine, quote-unquote, cool look back then. And I kind of like how they sort of explain it away by saying he does nothing but watch 90s sitcoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I quite like.
So, Lois then manipulates Dabney Donovan into letting her into his lab.
Yeah.
Daphne Donovan, what a name.
And okay, this character is incredibly sleazy, but boy does he have a rough time in this film.
I was as Rebecca will attest, I was saying Donovan should just go for it when my woman's hitting on him. Then I found out he was married, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was literally the minute he was no, that's just bad then. And it's a little bit OTT and just random.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, it is. It's every single character here wants to be with Lois Lane.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the character's not supposed to be like super attractive. If that makes sense, like she's not supposed to be like Selina Kyle, no, Poison Ivy, or
right, exactly. And it was kind of weird having her like that. Or, yeah. Like having her being hit on, you always think like she'd be like whatever, you know.
Like her seducing people, like to get stories, whatever. That totally happens. Like you can make yourself attractive through acting, but people, yeah, just ogling her all the time.
So, as Lex Luthor is confronting Lois Lane, a fight breaks out as Eradicator comes to try and catch Lex. Superboy and Eradicator fight. Eradicator wins fairly easily. It turns also John Henry Irons has been kind of milling about the place. He then starts to fight Eradicator as well.
Because he's Steel.
Steel as well just kind of ends up a bit obviously outclassed. And then Cyborg Superman arrives and we actually get... Well, firstly one... It's very clear from the offset, oh, he is trying to appear as close to actual Superman as possible, in terms of he's saying the right things.
Yeah.
I mean, the second he arrives, he's sus, but there is this kind of, oh no, he's actually at least trying to be Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of riding his image.
I did ask, because there was that Death of Superman anniversary recently, I was kind of curious, like, when people were reading this as it came out, did any of them... Because when the comics came out, like, Cyborg Superman, he was sort of pushed as, like, the strongest contender for being actually Clark Kent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Returned from the dead, and I was just kind of wondering if anyone actually believed that. I think there was a couple of people who did.
I thought
he was pretty sus when I was reading it, but then again, it was the 90s. They turned Johnny Blaze into a cyborg that looked like that, so, you know, they could have.
I mean, it's a bit like, because didn't all this happen around the same time as Nightfall?
Yeah, they were wearing, I think it was just before Batman Gets Broken, you could see Batman and Robin wearing the black Superman armbands. So Nightfall was just after Death, I think, but it would have been going on through Rain and then through, because that's like a long goddamn story.
Because obviously there's that Batman suit as well, which is very 90s.
Oh, yeah. The Azrael suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Superboy, to his credit, does save Mercy Graves.
Well, Superboy's a good guy.
And Steel saves Lex Luthor and Lois Lane. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention. So it's Rainn Wilson playing Lex Luthor again.
Yeah.
I don't know if this character's meant... Lex in this film is very weird because he is really goofy. Mm-hmm. And then there's hints that... No, but he's a nasty piece of work.
I think he's more goofy because of the way him and Superboy play off each other. I found that dynamic kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And then they made it super dark when he's about to like terminate him with the needle later. But anyway,
and then he then turns around and kills.
Yeah, this reminds us. Oh, this is Lex Luthor. He hasn't turned a new leaf. He's still a evil bastard, but he was a bit goofy in the first film, I thought, as well. I'm not sure if it was just because of the voice acting, but do you remember when Superman saves Lex and he goes, no?
Yeah.
So that was one of the goofiest deliveries I've heard. I've kind of gotten used to Rainn Wilson as Lex, because when I initially saw these films, I hated it with a passion. I'm like, why would you cast this guy who doesn't sound menacing as Lex? But now I'm kind of like, this is kind of a comical version of Lex, but he's also super evil, so it's not as bad as Gene Hackman. So yeah.
Yeah.
It would be better if I think he had a more menacing voice actor like Clancy Brown, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, that's always
pretty
good.
I think that's a little bit of... It's a bit like how every single other person who plays Batman, there will be, yeah, but is he Kevin Conroy? When it comes to voice acting.
But I mean, but there are... Yeah. But there are ones that we like.
There's one we like, but they're always... It's always,
I wasn't kind of... I kind of wasn't as in that. I didn't really care.
Yeah, I maybe Clancy Brown was a bad example. I've liked a lot of Lex voice actors. I really liked James Marsden. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I think that was in Doomsday.
Superman, I think.
No, I think it was...
No, you're right. It was Doomsday. No, you're right.
It was Simon Paglia or something in All-Star. I only know this because he's from Frasier, so...
Interesting.
But... and he's Australian. But, And the same with Batman, funnily enough. I know it's like gospel to think Kevin Connery's the best, but I think if you could just... There's like a sound to Batman. Like, if you just go, oh, I'm serious like this, then I think you're fine. I don't think I've really heard a bad... Batman is probably a better way of putting it.
I know what you mean. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, meanwhile, we see the Fortress of Solitude, the Eradicator is... I think the way the scene's originally portrayed is, the Eradicator is healing. It later turns out it's actually he's... It's not quite clear if he's healing Superman or if he's healing off of Superman.
Which I think is a clever way to throw people off who aren't familiar with the story.
Because I didn't really get it until...
Yeah. And I believe this is the first appearance of the Fortress, right, in this continuity?
Pretty much.
Like, yeah. I think the Fortress forms around the rocket is the idea.
Yes.
And, of course, it's the Donner Fortress because we need our solace, ice igloo, but, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask, Alan, have you read the original stories, or...?
I have never read a Superman comic book.
Apart from
All-Star. I've read All-Star Superman.
It's better than what I said when I was telling. I said that you just can't read.
I can read. It's more, I'll be perfectly honest, when I started this podcast I did not like Superman.
But now you've seen the...
Now I have watched enough movies that I have seen the light.
Yeah, well, All-Star's great, so, like, it's much better than Death and... Like, I'm not... Death and Reign of the Superman is not, like, a must-read, like people like to say. I was just curious if you've read them for context.
The issue is that the kind of main examples I saw of Superman...
Batman.
...were The Dark Knight Returns, where he's awful.
Out of character.
Yeah. Out of character. Speaking of which, the other one's Injustice.
Oh my lord! Yeah, they're not great introductions.
Yeah, no wonder. Eh?
Red Sun is worth reading, as in it's
heard
a good
Red
book.
Sun's good, yeah.
Just because it's coming up soon, like I'm recommending it purely on the basis that it's a good book, and if you're interested after watching the film, it's worth reading.
I always have time for a Mark Miller comic book.
Right.
Oh.
Someone doesn't like Mark Miller, apparently. But...
I like very specific Mark Miller.
He's actually written a lot of Superman.
Yeah, and I think I probably would like that. I liked Red Sun. I don't hate Civil War, but I hate how it came about. Mm. And some of his creator-owned stuff, though, not a big fan of.
He wrote all the Superman the Animated Series comics, which is obviously a change of speed from, as you said, creator-owned ones.
I like one of his creator-owned ones, which is actually about a very Superman-like character.
Oh, is that Jupiter's Legacy?
No, it's called Huck. So it's about this guy who's got superpowers, but They kind of, he's a little bit, he's kind of developmentally behind. So he's like kind of, he's very sweet, and he's like, he like stops cars to let ducks go past, and the whole village kind of keeps this secret.
Okay.
That he's got these powers because they know what would happen if it got into the world.
Yeah.
And then he sees something on TV, goes out and helps, it goes out in the world, blah, blah, blah. But it's a very kind of Superman type story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really like that. But like a lot of the other ones where they have like really weird magical abortions and slightly distasteful stuff. So, but I think where he's writing for the big two is probably where he's the most reined in from that. So I have a sort of up and down relationship with him, but yeah.
I think it's like so many other things, isn't it? It's when you've got certain restrictions placed on you, some creators do better with that. I think,
or it may be that I just don't like the stuff his sick little mind comes up. So when he's constrained by having to keep it PG and DC or Marvel, I kind of like, I like a lot of his ideas, but I wouldn't necessarily, I was a fan of his. I don't hate him.
I think it's as with a lot of the kind of big comic book writers, I think they do better when they've got a producer hanging over them.
I think so. I mean, like, they'd probably disagree because it's not as pure their vision, but like sometimes maybe I don't like their visions. So anyway
we are getting tracked off again. So Cyborg Superman visits Lois. Jerry O'Connell is voicing Cyborg Superman, which I do like.
Until the end, anyway, or until like the jig's well and truly up that he's Hank.
Yeah.
So he is talking about, he's playing the part of, I'm definitely Clark Kent.
He doesn't say he's Clark. He says he doesn't know he's Clark Kent.
He just knows he thinks he's the actual Superman. Obviously he's playing it up because we've later find out. No, he's fully aware that he's not.
Yeah.
We get a montage of all the heroes are doing hero-y things. But Superboy is, one, kind of playing up to the camera a bit, and two, isn't being taken seriously.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which Lex Luthor is not happy about.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's a fun dynamic for now, because it's like Lex has to be a sort of dad slash boss to like a rebellious teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is quite fun.
Yes.
And he ends up getting Superboy a gig, which is he is going to be working with the security for the president, as the president is there for the launch of the launch tower.
Yeah.
The Justice League is there as well, and is kind of...
They're also on the
security detail. The president in this continuity is very much... They were like, no, we need Hillary Clinton because we can't have a Donald Trump-esque president here.
Well, this was done during the election, I think.
It came out in 2019, so...
Their horses were on Hillary winning, and that just makes the writers more stupid. Not that I'm a Trump fan, but I just think it's hilarious that they're shoving in Hillary Clinton into the movie. She's not called Hillary Clinton.
Not called Hillary Clinton, but she's very...
Clearly.
Very much Hillary Clinton-esque.
Yeah. It'd be funnier if it was Trump. I'm just saying.
Oh, it'd be funnier if it was Trump, but I can... I suppose it's one of those things of... If you had Trump, either way, it's kind of... If you depict him as weak, you piss off people. If you depict him as strong, you piss off people, you can't really win.
Well, he was in Doomsday Clock, and Putin was as well, so that was a trip. And there was the part where Superman was interacting with Putin, and I'm reading this after he's like invaded the Ukraine, and I'm like, oh
shit, sorry.
Like they weren't.
That's fine. We can edit.
they weren't having a friendly interaction, but like because all the world leaders are kind of mad at Superman. But yeah, it was trippy.
yeah, that's insane.
It's a.
Meanwhile, Cyborg Superman is just standing there.
He's being weird.
Yes.
And I think they played that Cyborg Superman was kind of bad too early in the film.
Because
they should have left it to the third act, I think.
I think so as well, because it differentiated them very quickly.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening? Yeah, it's another one of these, oh, we're not going to have any actual mysteries here for what is ostensibly a mystery story. Because
I guess, like, there's a mystery with, like, the Eradicator, but that's probably it.
Yeah.
And the Eradicator's the character that has the least to do in the film.
I know, I was bummed that there wasn't more Eradicator.
Mm-hmm.
That was the case of the comic, though. He was in the comic more, but he still probably had the least amount of screen time.
Yeah.
I will say, as I mentioned to Rebecca, Eradicator is like a hugely established character in the comic. Like, he was a Superman villain before.
Yeah, see, I had no idea about that, which is cool.
And they really need to put the Eradicator stuff in a trade, because you're going to be lost if you haven't read the Eradicator stuff before Reign of the Superman. And, like, everyone reads it like that anyway, but it just annoys me. So,
because in this one, the basic play offers, no, this is basically a hologram that's being projected by the Fortress of Solitude to protect Superman, and it starts acting like Superman for reasons.
Which I'm fine with. It's kind of like Superman's nanny in the death. Like, it showed him in death, but you do point out, yeah, there's no explanation as to why he's out running around bringing justice to people. There's a very good explanation for that in the comic. He's kind of like carrying on his legacy. Like, he's a reformed villain. But in the... Yeah, in this, it doesn't quite hold up to scrutiny. Unless he's just, like, trying to fill in for Superman's job while he's sick. But...
Well, that's kind of what I thought he was doing, but, like, yeah, you're right. It'd be kind of cool if there was a bit more to it.
Yeah.
So, the... whilst this is happening, a boom tube appears, and parademons attack!
I remember being very cranky when I initially saw this. I'm like, oh, we're doing Darkseid again, are we? he's more, like, Darkseid is more than the punching bag.
It's their, like, go-to. It's like...
And it's just
I feel
like
we've seen him more than almost anyone else.
I was really hoping for Parallax, which is how Jordan turned evil, and I won't say anything, but Parallax is very tied into Reign of the Superman.
Right.
And Hal Jordan's an established character.
I know.
And I thought that would be a really interesting way to go, but they just do Darkseid again. So
the thing is with that, they also, if they're doing that, I think they'd have recast Hal Jordan, because I think it's Nathan Fillion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know that you could convincingly have him play a villain.
I'm sure he'd like to try, though.
I'm sure you could. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would like to think he's flexible enough to not just play himself.
I do like the fact that the thing that becomes... that very quickly it becomes about saving civilians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of play the hand very, very early here by Cyborg Superman does nothing until he saves the president.
Yeah.
Which is a big something.
Uh-huh. But the fact that he's making no attempt to do anything else...
Yeah, yeah.
If you didn't realize he was sus.
The Flash, I will say, the Flash has he appears like in a lot of these films, and he's always fun and likable, and he never got his own movie outside of Flashpoint.
Yeah, which is unbelievable.
And which means we don't get a Christopher Gorham led Flash movie.
Oh, we have a Green Lantern movie coming. Beware my power. Oh, John Stewart. Oh, man. Sorry.
I know.
I just went through a full range of emotions.
Well, to be fair, there has been Hal Jordan-led movies, and they weren't great.
I didn't mean it's not Hal. I find John very boring compared to all the other Green Lanterns. Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner would be great. I mean, unfortunately,
I love Kyle, you know. If
you want someone who's black, Jon Stewart's the only one you have, really. Yeah. So that's unfortunate, but maybe they'll make him interesting. I don't know.
I don't know. I still like the one time we got Jessica Cruz.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
One of the Lego movies.
Oh,
one of the ones we didn't watch that long ago. But I mean, we didn't get her. It wasn't like she was the star of it.
Yeah, she was like the lead subplot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anywho, so the portal then falls onto the Justice League and they disappear.
I'm not going to say it was, like, convenient they all gathered under the portal.
But it looks weird.
It was a little bit convenient. It wasn't, like, super convenient, but it was a little bit like, oh, they're dead.
Oh, they're definitely dead, and they're absolutely dead, and we're playing this really straight, and it's obvious that they're not just transported or something else.
This is, yeah, this scene is where the film just starts really falling apart for me, because I'm not a stickler. Like, you don't have to stick to the source material, but I'm realizing, oh, they're really deviating, and this is going to be set up for future stuff instead of like a proper standalone resolution to this story arc. This is goofy too.
There's a lot of goofy.
Yeah. So even though he did actually make quite a good account of himself, Superboy is, Lex is less than impressed, because Cyborg Superman was more impressive.
Mm.
He takes him down to Dr. Donovan's lab. This point they go, oh, Dr. Donovan, yes, Lex Luthor has beaten the ever-loving bejesus out of him off-screen.
Yeah.
I wanted him to do it on-screen, but you know.
So there's that, and then the revelation that Superboy is a cross of Superman and Lex Luthor, because Lex hasn't realized that Superman is smarter than him.
I mean, it's not a big surprise if you know anything about Superboy, but yeah.
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 So, and Lex Luthor is preparing to kill Superboy, and then at the last minute, for reasons, changes his mind.
He's put a lot into that investment.
I mean, it's not cheap to, like, clone yourself.
He's probably not going to get a better clone. No. Also, fun fact, Superboy's powers in the comics are actually, they look like Superman's, but they're, like, kinetic or psychically based. So he's technically...
Oh, interesting.
...different. Like, he's not just another Kryptonian-powered person.
Is he affected by kryptonite, the word that I couldn't say while we were watching the film? I made up some other word for it.
Not at that point, no.
I think they called it kryptonium.
I know they made him affected by kryptonite in Titans, I think, but okay. he's not in Reign of the Superman. Okay. I don't think they ever did that, but he wouldn't be, because he's not kryptonium.
No, so. I think it's just sometimes you have to like tamp down that power, don't you? So.
I guess Phil's Clark's DNA, he could be, I can't remember, but...
It's not important, I just want
to... And it turns out that the severance package for leaving LexCorp is being fed to the mutated attempted clones of Superman.
Yeah, it's gross.
There were some cool designs, though.
Yeah, there were.
For those creatures.
Mm-hmm. So, and I hope you found that whole plotline there interesting and satisfying, because that's as far as we're going with that.
Yeah.
We then finally get the big reveal, which is Cyborg Superman. One, he's Hank Henshaw, and two, he's working for Darkseid.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, we could do it as like a big twist or something interesting, but it's just not.
Yeah, when in, again, I'm going back to the comic because that's obviously going to come up. When you find out Cyborg Superman's bad, it's like, oh, he's bad. It's a big, big moment that has ramifications outside of Superman. And like, so does this, but this is just, Cyborg Superman's kind of pathetic in this. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's just, when in the comic's like, oh, he's a bad dude. And that was like one of the big moments I remember, like, just reading a comic is like that reveal, and there was no equivalent to that in the film, and I'm like, that's such a big story beat of the original, it's kind of surprising you don't try and do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I might actually look up this comic book now, so...
Well, if you just... Yeah, if you want spoilers, you can just look up what did Cyborg Superman do, and you might see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
Or maybe you won't, I don't know.
Oh! Oh boy!
Yeah, in the comic, he's a scary threat. You know, he's a good villain. And this is he never had any real presence in this.
No, he's very much sidelined.
Yeah, like it's Darkseid's the real threat. He's just a lackey, which ironically is what they did to Mongol, who was a lackey of Cyborg Superman, but that's another issue. So, yeah. So, Rebecca, when was the point you clued in, like, that, I don't know, that...
That Cyborg Superman?
Well, did you ever think any of them were Clark, or...
No.
Okay. Yeah?
No, I didn't, but I didn't really know how that would fit in. Like, I don't really know, like, when he started saying, oh, no, I am, and I was like, definitely not. Like, I don't think I realised the Eradicator had this other side to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew what Superboy's deal was because I watched Titans, but also I've, you know, seen him in a few things. I don't remember ever seeing Cyborg Superman before. And he just he clearly seemed like the dodgiest one because he was so much insisting he was the real one. But I think the Eradicator was the one I had no real steer on.
Right.
Because he seemed so harsh and zappy. And then to have to find out he's like kind of, like you said, the nanny is kind of... I kind of like that duality.
Hmm.
But no, I didn't really think any of them was Clark. I don't know what I thought, how I thought it was going to resolve itself, though.
Yeah.
We get a very cool Iron Man desuiting scene with Steel.
Yeah.
Which he then goes, and Lois Lane is in his secret laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And goes, oh yeah, this is not a big twist, Isla. This reveal of, oh, Steel is...
Yeah, that was given.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I guess you can't really... due to the nature of, like, the comic being out so long ago, like, making John Henry Irons being Steel a reveal is... I don't think it's something you can really pull off
in this film. Yeah, unless you've really not paid any attention to him before, so...
Plus, like, he's... When you're, like, crossing off characters in the film who could be maybe Steel, who's obviously a human...
Yeah.
He's the only guy who sort of fits the bill and resembles the character. But yeah, it was still a bit of a fizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was nice that one of them was just someone totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, she recruits Steel, Lois Lane recruits Steel to kind of help her investigate what's going on with Hank Henshaw. Whilst this is happening, Cyborg Superman sets up the Cyber Corps.
Yeah.
Which is these, well, what later turns out to be basically part of a Mueller box, creating a suit that takes over the body of volunteers, and the second you see them, like, okay, that's... No one saw that this was going to go badly wrong.
Like, yeah, that was everyone creepy. Does.
Yeah.
Like, Bibbo sees it, Lex Luthor sees it, Lois sees it, you know, that none of them think it's, like, not suspicious as hell.
But I'm meaning, like, the general public, I mean.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, it could have, maybe if you had the Republic feel, not Republic, if you had the general public feel, like, really desperate for heroes, like, I know the Justice League's just disappeared, but you still have four Supermen running around, so if you set up maybe some proxy threat and made it a bit more desperate, then people would be more willing to believe. But this whole thing was weird, and what, they're like a giant boom tube or something? These
Yeah. So Steel investigates Intergang whilst Lois goes to talk to Lex Luthor. Steel finds out that Eradicator has taken out Intergang and is collecting up Apocalypse tech. Lois encounters Superboy, and whilst she's with Superboy, we get Steel manages to arrive at the Fortress of Solitude, ends up fighting Eradicator. Lex is watching this. He doesn't want Superboy to leave to get involved, because he is already going, no, we need someone here in case something happens with these cyber people.
Yeah.
Because Lex Luthor is actually able to notice other threats, because he is actually intelligent in this for once.
Mm.
So just as Steel is about to be defeated by Eradicator, Superboy heads over. And Darkseid says that now is the time to begin the attack. Also, the Justice League, they're not dead. They're fighting monsters in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can't escape. As they do.
Yeah.
And 53 minutes into the film, Clark Kent is back.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a black suit, because he is.
Yeah.
No explanation.
Yeah, well, no, I asked Connor about this, so I know what the excuse was given for the black suit.
So, yeah, the suit has a purpose, which the film doesn't bother to mention, which is it, because he's weak, but the suit is, like, structured to absorb solar radiation faster, but they don't even give that a line in the film.
Which they do in Doomsday.
They do, yeah. Yeah, they do in that one.
But his mullet and his lack of neck just immediately...
The mullet works for the comic.
Mullet kind of works because, like, yeah, whatever, his hair's grown. But
well, so, like, it doesn't.
It's that with the lack of neck. It was just like, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, it looked like they're just like, he has to have a mullet. Let's glue a mullet on him. It doesn't really work.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't
the character
like
model.
It's gone long enough either. Unless his hair grows really fast.
Yeah, but because he's got a mullet and also 5 o'clock shadow.
I think he's been gone a while.
Well, 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, the 5 o'clock shadow, that would be, like, only 24 hours, right? That's fine. But, like, his hair's got quite a lot of growth.
I mean, we have established it's 6 months.
Yeah, but I don't think my hair grows that fast in 6 months.
Mine. I mean, I don't get a mullet, but this is, to be fair, this is Superman as
well.
It is
Superman.
And there's two things.
And
the
at least
other
it
does
distinguish him.
Well, why doesn't he have a beard if he has a mullet?
Right, yeah. That did bother me that it was only 5 o'clock shadow and not a full-on beard.
That works in the comic too. Why doesn't he have a beard? Because he does grow beards, like quite a lot. He has a beard, so.
I mean, yeah. He has chest hair, which is still unusual. Lots of chest hair for some reason.
He was all about that chest hair for a while.
I wonder why this is something that impassions me, a very hairy man.
I don't know.
So, Lex Luthor then mentions that he misses Superman, which is when you know that S got real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lex has managed to successfully find out about Darkseid.
Which is kind of crazy.
I do like the fact that there is this degree of, no, Lex Luthor actually is competent in this.
Yeah.
He's not competent at some things, yeah.
Yeah. He's goofy, but he is actually intelligent.
Yeah.
So, he's found out that what Cyborg Superman is doing, or that he's got something bad planned. Lex has a Mueller box. Meanwhile, for some reason, he wants Lois to go into the watchtower.
Because he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to risk his own life.
Yeah.
When he was describing it, like, it sounded like they're like, Lois is like, okay, I'll stay out here. And I'm like, wait a minute, wouldn't it just make more sense for Lex to do, like, the tech hacking stuff on the outside? Like, why would Lex be able to distract Cyborg Superman more than Lois? Lois would clearly be able to do it better, so that was a bit...
Yeah.
You know?
So, Superman, they established Superman is considerably weakened still. So he rides in a spaceship along with Superboy and Steel as they go to confront Cyborg Superman. Also, we get the reveal here, just casually. Oh yeah, Darkseid made Doomsday. Yeah, of course. I thought that would be your reaction.
I mean, I get it. Like, you've already gone this far, so it would make sense to have him make Doomsday. But again, it's a downgrade of something much cooler.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So the weird cyborg core enormous portal is made.
Yeah.
And Lois confronts Hank Henshaw. Cyber Superman. At this point, then they find out that Superman's not dead. And both Darkseid and Cyborg Superman are desperate to kill himself. So Cyborg Superman turns on Darkseid, rips out his communicator, his control with Darkseid, and closes the portal just before Darkseid can get onto Earth.
I was glad that Cyborg Superman, like, showed initiative and became his own.
Yeah.
Like, villain. Again, he still wasn't that threatening because he was just a lackey for so long, but it was something.
It's something. So he then orders the Cyber Corps to destroy Metropolis as Superman crashes into the Watchtower. So you've got Lex Luthor is trying to use the Mueller box to open up a portal. Apparently a portal to save the Justice League, though we don't find out that's what he's actually doing. Superboy and Steel are busy. They start to fight through the Cyber Corps to actually protect the city, whilst Cyborg Superman rubs Superman's face over the side of the Watchtower and is just beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the issue is his reason for hating Superman just seems so, well, you didn't save me because you were too busy fighting Doomsday.
I mean, that is very much his read.
Oh, that's literally the depth. And I can understand, yes, he watched people die, but, you know, he's not attacking Martian Manhunter or, you know, so many other, you know, Green Lantern. There's so many other people he could have been angry with.
Yeah, I think the reason is basically the same in the comic, but there's like more time given to it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel contrived. Like, it feels natural that he hates Superman.
Yeah.
And plus, like, he goes through worse in the comic. So, like, he would be crazy.
Yeah.
I think he believes that, there was a solar flare, and he believes that Superman's actually responsible for the shuttle crash. So it wasn't, you didn't save me, it was like, no, it's your fault that this happened.
Right, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense, or if during the fight with Doomsday, Superman had kicked Doomsday into the ship or something. Yeah, it just seems to be like, well, you could have saved me and you didn't, so I hate you. Anyway, Lex manages to successfully open the portal. This causes Cyber Superman to launch the tower into space, because he's going to let Superman and Lois freeze and choke to death.
Yeah, it's not like Green Lantern getting up there.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Oh, then he'd have to do something. he couldn't just be there, you know.
Superman is able to stab Cyborg Superman with a wire, which is able to distract him for long enough. Lois is able to put life support on, which then means that the Watchtower is livable again.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a big hole in the side of the Watchtower that's like sucking into space, and Lois is fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't an aeroplane.
This is where it gets really space. Dumb.
Like, yeah. And she's like flying around, dodging his laser beams. And at this point, I was just like, F this. This is dumb. I hate it.
So Lois is then able to open up the shields on the Watchtower so Superman gets proper sunlight.
That's what he needs.
Which apparently is, he's able to get enough from just through the window. Like, if he'd maybe been spaced, I could have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, there's no filter.
Yeah.
Like, there's no atmosphere. It's just the window, you know? So I can believe that. Because I remember watching Sunshine. I don't know how scientific that is, but, like,
apparently they have quite.
They have to dim the windows.
Well, they had actual scientific consultants on that film, so they were at least trying to.
Okay. But do you remember, like, they had the window with the sun there. And if he didn't have, like, protection on the window, then you'd just be burned by the pure light of the sun. So that's what I was saying.
Superman is now powerful enough to easily overcome Cyborg Superman. Though, just to make sure, he stabs Cyborg Superman with Eradicator?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, he's like, I'm not going to kill you, and then he looks like he kills him, but I guess he doesn't.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to inject you with the thing that will kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a kind of, oh, I don't have to going to kill you. I'm just going to drop a building in your general vicinity. And if it happens to hit you, that's your fault.
Yeah.
We've also established at this point, this is a Superman that kills.
Yeah.
Is he?
No, Doomsday recovered from his head being knocked backwards.
Well, I mean, Doomsday always, that always happens. Like, I don't know if that, like, counts. I guess it's more graphic than the comic.
Yeah.
But in the comic, he still, like, beats Doomsday to death, technically. I guess no one just ever really talks about it like it's a kill.
So this also kills the Cyber Squadron thing.
Yeah, they all die. That's a bit grim.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's he needed that, because that's like the only weight in the film. That's like the only consequence.
It actually is. It's the only consequence.
Aside from like the shuttle crash in the first film, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. So that's the end of the main plot. Clark Kent appears with Superman. Superman actually saved Clark Kent because he's missing for 6 months. Superboy, who's now going by the name Connor, is living with the Kents for the 30 seconds that he has left on screen.
God, it'd be great to see some of that, wouldn't it?
It would be.
And we finish with Superman doing the Superman thing, running to the camera, ripping his shirt open.
Yay, so actually, we know he's proper back.
He does get a spiffy new costume as well.
He does.
Yes.
And
post-credits, the Justice League have decided we're going to attack Apocalypse because that's not going to go wrong.
Yeah, why
not? And Lex Luthor has joined the Justice League.
Oh yeah, forgot that.
Hooray! Yeah.
Which was pretty cool when it happened in the comics. Like, I generally hated that Justice League run, but having Lex join was pretty fun.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
You know, it'd be great to see some of that. It'd be great, you know, I can't wait till the point where we see that. It's going to be good when we get to it.
Okay. Deranged giggling.
It's because I've actually watched Apocalypse War.
I'm going to look it up now.
I mean, you have...
Don't. No, yeah, keep the surprise.
It's like Alan said, there's basically one film left after this, and that's like, there's so much cool kind of stuff that's been set up in these films, but like, you have one film left, so that's all you're going to get in terms of like wrapping up things or seeing characters that have been in this universe.
They wrap
and,
up.
And there's like, to be fair, there's only so much you can do in like 90 minutes.
That's true.
I will give you one good thing though. John Constantine is one of the main characters.
Okay.
So that's good. The three main characters are Constantine, Raven, and Superman. They're on the box art. So, okay. To be fair, you know, I like that. I don't know. I'm divided, so. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that's the end. The death of Superman, you felt genuine emotion, and the characters were, like, really likable. Outside of the four new Supermen, all the characters were just really flat in this. Like, where was the warmth and personality all these characters had in the last film?
I think the problem is, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, the issue I have with it is I think it has very much the same vibe I got off Eternals, which is we're trying to do a lot in not a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would have helped, I think, if they had Tomasi write it or a better writer.
I actually wonder if they would have had a better time actually doing a film where Superman doesn't appear and then do basically have the end of the film be the reveal that Cyborg Superman's working with Darkseid.
I don't think that would work structurally unless he changed a fair few things, I guess, which, you know, they're not averse to, obviously. But yeah, I don't know, it's tricky. Because Reign of the Superman in the comic is quite a lengthy story. But again, maybe if he didn't have to deal with the Darkseid stuff, it would have worked better.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what if it was purely just Hank Henshaw out for revenge and we cut out all the Darkseid stuff? You still have your villain.
Yeah, but they never think it's interesting enough, so.
Mm.
So, yeah, the next kind of films that we've got coming up, actually, one of the next five films is part of this movie universe, which is Batman Hush.
Okay.
Which is an adaptation of the Batman Hush comic book.
Hush and No Man's Land are the only major Batman works I have not read.
Which is interesting, because it's one of the ones I... this is one of the films I have read.
If we're talking about pre-New 52, anyway. Yeah.
One thing I will say is, Batman Hush, the film, and Batman Hush, the comic book, are very similar until they're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Including the identity of Hush.
I think that can be a plus. I can't speak to the quality of the film because I haven't read the comic or seen it. But I think I've said before, like, straight adaptations of comics don't work for me because you're just getting inferior animation.
Mm.
Like, you know, like you're replacing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's also like it's nice to have people who read the comics get something different from.
It's nice to see some new stuff and have surprises, yeah. But maybe Hush is just terrible. So yeah. Again, I haven't seen it.
Well, I've just sent you a message, and this is what's wrong with the film.
Okay, is it a plot spoiler?
Yes.
Okay, I'll look at it anyway because I'm gonna read.
Why did I get the spoilers?
Because you're going to watch the film.
God, am I? I see where it goes. I see who's valued and who isn't.
Well, I mean, if I read Hush, I might hate it.
No, we value you, Rebecca, very much. That's why.
Well, yeah, he wants your fresh reaction. My fresh reaction
will be it's rubbish, but let's carry on. It's Batman.
Oh, you know what I got? I will tell that after the podcast.
So, anyway, before that, we've got the last DC Superhero Girls film.
Hey.
It's not actually a film. It's four animated episodes bolted together, but it is technically one coherent story.
Mm-hmm. You guys are still on that, huh?
It's the last one.
The last one. We enjoyed the last one, so.
Okay.
Kind of got used to it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really awkward if this was a complete reboot. Which it is. We then get Justice League versus the Fatal Five, which is a sort of sequel to the Justice League Unlimited TV show. It uses the same character models and cast.
Slightly off topic, how much did that make? Because, like, for me, I haven't seen the entire Justice League show, including the finale. So, like, that's the reason I didn't bother watching this or getting it, despite the fact that Superman's in the middle of the cover, is because, oh, this is a sequel to an animated universe that has, like, 100 episodes
that came out. $2 million.
That's not too bad.
To be fair, this is okay. It doesn't, like, it's set in the same universe. It doesn't, like, carry on plot threads.
Okay.
And also, it is... I think it's much more a case of, well, this is a continuation of the Timverse, which is what a lot of people... That was their first real taste of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know... If you didn't read comic books, this is probably how you encountered the Justice League.
Yeah.
And that's the series that obviously goes all the way back to Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
It's massive. I mean, purely the Batman stuff in that universe is...
Hundreds of episodes.
Both that and Batman Beyond as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're also covering Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Can't wait.
Oh, no, that I can't wait for, Isla. And the other kind of the five is Lego DC Batman.
Which one is that?
It's the same Lego. It's the Lego films we've been tying in.
Right, this is not the Lego Batman movie.
No, nothing to do with that.
They're all just called the same thing. It's stupid. It is stupid. I mean, they're just like. I don't know how anyone's supposed to keep track of this, but whatever. You have to have, like, a detailed blooming spreadsheet to know which Lego Batman is which.
I mean, literally, it's everything except the big Lego Batman movie is one continuity.
Yeah, but then why call it Lego DC Batman and then the other one Lego Batman?
Not a clue.
Right.
Anyway, that is everything that we've got coming up. Though I do know that both of you appear on other podcasts, so why don't you tell me about them?
All right. You first, Rebecca.
Like I just said, I guested on Connor's Last Sons of Krypton, and then we're both doing Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon, and I just did a Moon Knight podcast for the most recent issue. So that should be out now.
That covers that.
So you're not appearing in any other podcasts, Connor?
No, that covers my podcast. I guess after the next episode of LSK, we're doing Birthright, which is a popular story. So go check that out. Yeah.
Sure thing. And meanwhile, we're still doing Rise of the Robots. We are currently going through Techno Games 2002, and we're about to get on to my favourite series of Robot Wars.
Oh, nice.
Which is good. And we had something really weird happen where, for some reason, for the first 2 weeks of the year, we were obscenely busy. Our listenership just spiked for no reason.
Oh.
Like, normally we get like 10 listens a day, maximum, and that's like average, so obviously it's busier the day we release episodes, and it's kind of, for some reason, the first 2 weeks of the year, we were doing 20 to 25 listens a day.
Mm.
Like, for no reason.
People really like that superhero girls one you did last time.
No, this is the robot podcast.
No, it's some of the robots.
Oh, right.
No one likes superhero girls, don't worry. No, they do. It's alright, I didn't.
It's alright.
It's not meant for us, is it? It's definitely the youngest skewing thing we watch, so.
Yeah. It's also the only film series I think is actually meant to be catering to female audience members. Hello?
Yes, no. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, I'm sure some of the... Well, there aren't really any any Wonder Woman ones on there, so.
Well, I think there's one... I think there's a grand total of 2 animated Wonder Woman movies. We've watched one and we're about to watch the other. that's all that's coming up. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with Sweet Justice. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.